The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Kogal from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the January 2019 Glamour magazine and possibly a little thing, something from the 17 magazine, January edition. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached by KiwanisFoundation.org. Well, today is January 17. Welcome back. Today we're going to start off with an article entitled Mentorship Rethink, The New Way to Get Ahead, Advice You Need. Any young professional woman who heard that to succeed, and especially to succeed fast, you need a mentor, someone who will show you the ropes and pave the way for your advancement. But the idea that a woman in the C-suite can teach you everything you need to know about your career and your future is right up there with believing Beyoncé is in the Illuminati. There's no doubt that female leaders can be helpful, and we need more of them. Only 5% of Fortune 500 companies have a female CEO. But virtually every career path today is much more complicated than the old up-the-ladder route. You need a village to navigate it all. Modern mentorship isn't about looking to just one person. It's about cultivating a group of people, says Sally Krawczyk, CEO and co-founder of Elevest, a digital investment platform for women. They might be senior to you, your peer, or even your junior. They could be in your company, outside of it, male or female. Having a series of diverse perspectives is what helps you to succeed. New groups and technology are trying to help. OK Real brings together ambitious young women, both digitally and IRL, to problem solve issues in the workplace from the pay gap to sexual harassment. Bumble's Biz mode lets you swipe to connect with powerful businesswomen like Kris Jenner and Carly Kloss. Women-focused workplaces like The Wing have networking baked into membership, and at lean-in circles, women gather wherever they live to swap advice and contacts. But if you don't have access to these, or they aren't right for your particular career, what to do? Start with these new approaches. Stop looking for a full-service mentor. There is no magic one-stop advisor who's going to transform your life and your career. This is a fallible human being we're talking about, not a fairy godmother. So consider going for the specific advice you need. Shauna Duggins, the first woman to win an Emmy for stunt coordination for her work on GLOW, has used that approach repeatedly. I haven't had one formal person who has been my mentor through my whole career, she says. Rather, I've had a handful of amazing men and women. I call them up and it's like, hey, you're great with a specific stunt. How do you visualize it with a comedy instead of a drama? You're stronger as a team, no matter the industry. Everyone has their own unique skill set and blind spots. When Katie Sturino, founder of the 12-ish Style and Mega Babe, was first starting out in public relations, there was a woman in my field I was obsessed with, she says. I learned from her how to conduct myself in meetings and with clients, but I realized she didn't have the best time management skills. I'm still glad for what she taught me, but when it came to balance my work and personal lives, I went to someone else. Also, most people are aware they don't know everything. So if you get into a mentoring groove with someone, it's highly likely she'll connect you with a colleague or someone else in her network who can help you with other skills you need. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Some of the old mentoring rules of your still apply, like needing to do your research. But there is a new way to have a leg up on this: social media. If you have a coffee date on the books with someone you admire, do some light digital stalking, emphasis on light. If she's posting Instagram stories about a new initiative she's launching, look into it. Or if she's retweeting articles on a trending topic in your industry, make sure to read up. Not only will these tidbits make for great conversation starters, they can also open up ways that you can potentially work together. This approach worked for ClassPass executive chairman and founder Payal Kadakia, who was thrilled when she landed one-on-one time with ZocDoc co-founder Cyrus Masumi, who she knew would have the inside scoop on how to build a health-related tech business in New York. I came prepared with specific questions on the challenges I was tackling with scaling the company, and he provided great guidance on how to combat early growing pains, she says. The two hit it off so much that they've continued to help each other troubleshoot problems they faced in the health industry. He became an advisor to ClassPass, and I signed on as an advisor to his new investment fund, she says. Coming prepared isn't the only lesson to be learned from Kadakia. She also knew that you have to give to get. Find ways that you can also help the person who's advising you, says Shark Tank judge and real estate pro Barbara Corcoran. If they're going to give you free advice, offer to help them with something you know you're good at. Whether it's social media or whatever it may be, it will go a long way. Mix business and friendship. I view mentorship like being on a basketball team, where people are working toward a common goal, says Outdoor Voices founder Ty Haney. That goal being helping you succeed, no matter your dream. Haney's team includes Audrey Gelman from The Wing and Emily Weiss from Glossier. We all founded millennial-focused startups, so there's a lot of overlap in what we're experiencing, she says. For example, I've called Emily for advice on building brick-and-mortar stores. Find the peers who are doing things you want to be doing and see what they can teach you. Hillary Carr, co-founder of Who, What, Where, W-E-A-R, found the best mentorship from her coworkers during her early days in publishing. Today, they've all left the industry, but continue to go to one another for advice. They've not only taught me the ropes at work, she says, they became lifelong sounding boards. Now we've moved to different companies. Danielle Nussbaum is on the writing team for Casual. Susan Cernak is the director for marketing for David Zwirner's art gallery. And Jane Herman is the editorial director of Theory. We ask each other questions all the time, about everything from hiring to strategy, and their advice is invaluable. So look to your left, then look to your right. See the people sitting on either side. Call them coworkers. Call them friends. Call them mentors. Don't assume mentoring has to be a formal thing. If you work for a big organization or are a member of an industry group, you've probably seen emails advertising corporate mentorship initiatives. These matching programs have the potential to be helpful, but they can also be a bad blind date. When I was CFO of Citi, I was part of a formal mentoring program, Krawcheck says. My mentee was a perfectly nice young woman, and we met for a monthly breakfast. She'd ask questions, and then we'd spend the rest of the time staring at each other, like in awkward silence or small talk. Like any productive relationship, the best ones are definitely more organic. You wouldn't want to start off a friendship that required you to meet up for a drink once a week, no exceptions. So why would you want a mentorship relationship with such strict rules? Instead, Sutian Dong, partner at Female Founders Fund, thinks you should take a more natural approach. She recommends that you focus on building a relationship with a potential mentor. It's better when it's not clearly labeled, she says. Just commit to sharing advice as needed. Or a time-consuming thing. When Fashionista deputy editor Tyler McCall was starting out, she collected some of her best wisdom on, wait for it, Twitter. Before I got my first job, she says, I tweeted at Ava Chen, director of fashion partnerships at Instagram, then a Teen Vogue editor. I don't live in New York City, but I'm afraid to move without a job. What should I do? She wrote back, fortune favors the bold. In mere seconds, McCall's got the advice she was looking for. McCall ultimately made the move from Florida and kept in touch with Chen. Proof that gently inserting yourself into someone's social media orbit can help lead to an IRL meetup. If your question can't be answered in 280 characters or fewer, and you need that precious one-on-one, make sure you're being respectful of a mentor's time. Remember, when you two are chatting, she's not checking email, taking calls, or getting any other shit done for the duration. Christina Stemble, founder of Farm Girl Flowers, recently had a question for Julie Wainwright of The Real Real, and knew to keep it short and sweet. I asked Julia if she could give me 15 minutes to talk about valuation, she says. When we spoke, I stayed on topic, and it took less time than I even thought. Ask for only 30 minutes of someone's time on a specific question, and they'll almost always say yes, since they know what they're saying yes to. No, this might not last, and that's okay. As with friends or romantic partners, sometimes mentoring relationships run their course. Take it from McCall, whose relationship with Chen evolved. She went to work at Instagram, and I kept working in fashion publishing, so it didn't make sense to go to her for advice anymore, she says. Most human relationships are fluid, so when you get to a different point in your career, it's totally fine to stop going to the same people. If you feel you've maxed out on what you can learn from your mentor, ease up on the outreach, but keep in touch, says Brooklyn Decker, co-founder of Finery. Just because the mentorship doesn't work out doesn't mean you can't have a decent professional relationship, she says, because even if mentors come and go, the advice they give you lasts forever. And how to keep your cool when your mentor is a legend. Two summers ago, I found myself in an unreal scenario, out to lunch with Jill Abramson, my professor at Harvard University and the former executive editor of the New York Times, the only woman to ever fill that role, celebrating my first real job at Glamour. The moment was made possible because I'd taken her journalism seminar and she'd sent a glowing recommendation to my future boss. I still couldn't believe it. How had I stood out to such an esteemed journalist? And how the hell could I continue to impress her? The answers to those questions help anyone who lands a unicorn mentor, that insanely high-powered person who supports your career. Take a look. Get over your imposter syndrome. When I first got into Abramson's seminar, I was embarrassed that I didn't have published work. Yet my classmates had bylines in national publications. She saw that as a deficit, but as room for growth. I've had many students who've had no experience in journalism go out and discover amazing things, she says. When someone who's directed a newsroom and published 4 books vouches for you, you stop questioning your validity. Be open to feedback. While Abramson's comments were a vote of confidence, she also wasn't shy about pointing out where I had areas to grow. Case in point, I'd turn in a draft I thought was airtight, and she'd hand it back with a full paragraph of revision notes. It's easy to feel defensive when you get that kind of blunt feedback, but don't. Over time, I learned to swallow my apology reflex whenever Abramson gave me advice. Instead, I absorbed what she was telling me. The best mentors give it to you straight, so you can really learn. Pay it forward. Abramson spent hours with me as I was job searching. She assured me this wasn't a burden. I feel journalism needs to be reinvigorated by young talent, she says. Where I can help, I throw myself into that and try my hardest. The only thing, she asked in return, that I try to help other young writers who want to break into journalism. I'm already working on that. I've got a coffee date with one of her current students coming up. Jill Abramson is the author of Merchants of Truth, out next month. Haley LeSavage is the fashion feature assistant at Glamour. And Haley LeSavage wrote this article. The best mentor might be sitting next to you. Mentorship is a dirty word to Away co-founder and chief brand officer Jen Rubio. She invented the luggage you're proud to roll around the airport. I hate the whole idea of going to just one person, she says, but that doesn't mean she doesn't seek guidance. I have an informal network of people I text, email, or call to get their thoughts or a second opinion, and I do it daily. Meet her dream team and see how their give and take helps them all. This is by Samantha Leach. Jen Rubio, co-founder and chief business officer, Away. Whitney Wolfherd, founder and CEO, Bumble. How they communicate. Social media / DMs. Whitney is such a source of support, says Rubio. She's always there to encourage and inspire when we launch something new or give off-the-record advice about potential partners or investors. Heard, for her part, leans on Rubio's branding expertise. I'll ask her for feedback on a marketing plan or whatever we're working on, she says. They also celebrate milestones, says Heard. I sent her a cake replica of an Away bag when she opened a store in Austin. Alice Gao, photographer. How they communicate. Text. I often ping Alice with questions about the creative director for Away, says Rubio. Whether it's what she thinks of a new color we're launching or the art for a photo shoot, she just gets our artistic vibe, so I can trust her. Rubio has taught Gao to set limits. Jen teaches me to work smarter, not longer, Gao says. For example, she doesn't answer emails after a certain hour, and she convinced me to give myself Sundays off from my inbox. Maddie Moelis and Sierra Tischgart, co-founders Great Jones. How they communicate? Email. Great Jones is just getting started, so I go to Sierra and Maddie when I have questions about the agencies or investors they're working with, says Rubio. They help me stay fresh on the cutting edge side of startups. Tishgart likes turning to someone who has just been there. Jen's been helpful in teaching me how to budget, she says. Recently, we had our first ever photo shoot and had no idea how much funding to allot for it. So we reached out to her for help. Adds Moelis, Jen helps us with brand awareness. Rashida Jones, actor and director. How they communicate. Phone calls. Whenever I'm stuck creatively on a commercial, I send it to Rashida and she'll validate that it's not good. Rubio says with a laugh, having that voice that says scrap it gets me out of that rut. Then we'll bounce ideas off each other to reboot. Rubio, in turn, helps Jones troubleshoot, like when they collaborated on a collection for Away and couldn't get the license they wanted for a textile. Jen was like, it's fine, we'll get an illustrator, says Jones. She's a make-things-happen person, and Jen reminds me to channel that energy when I'm directing. All right, our next article is on personal history. Self-care didn't work for my anxiety. Medicine did. By Lindsay Shalon. I don't know what's wrong with me. It was about the 10th time in 3 months I'd sent some version of that text to my boyfriend. The time prior to this, it was 8 p.m. on a Saturday. I just binged on a whole season of Criminal Minds and placed my third order on Seamless that day. I knew I should cook, but even making SpaghettiOs, my go-to depressed meal, was impossible. And this time, on an uneventful Monday morning, I was getting ready for work, and just putting on pants felt like too much. I was sitting there sobbing, jeans pulled halfway up my thighs, and out of options. I knew I needed to go back on my meds, but I so desperately didn't want to. It's an on-and-off battle I've fought for nearly two decades, and one I'm certainly not alone in. A 2012 National Center for Biotechnology Information study found that one in three women shows signs of an anxiety disorder sometime in her life. Thankfully, we can be more open about mental health issues than a generation ago. Real women and celebrities alike have shared intimate personal details about depression. But this has also paved the way for a disturbing trend that's been cropping up all over social media in the past few months. The idea that you can somehow fix these issues with self-care. This necklace will stop your anxiety, blared a subject line that popped up in my inbox. The sender claimed a charm helps steady your breathing. Sure. My Instagram has been taken over by influences swearing by the calming magic of essential oils and CBD gummies. I've always held a healthy amount of skepticism for this kind of wellness snake oil, which is essentially the mental health version of fad diets. But I found myself thinking maybe downloading a breathing app and becoming a bath person would take some of my edge off. What was the worst that could happen? I'd still be eating canned pasta? For 3 months, I fought hard to buy into the idea that I could somehow will away mental illness. I tried slowing down with a 7-step skincare routine instead of just slapping on moisturizer. At the nail salon, I splurged on a deluxe spa pedicure and chair massage in the name of self-care. Yet the nagging, pervasive voice in my head told me I'm not good enough, didn't shut up. I was still having meltdowns in the shower over how I should have answered an email 3 weeks ago. And that's when I called BS on our current self-care obsession. Quick fixes for anxiety imply that being on medication is inherently a failure. It's one thing to say a skincare ritual is calming. It's another to say it's a cure for depression. After the pants crying incident, I made the decision to go back to my doctor and start therapy. Now, I take an antidepressant every night. It isn't a quick fix solution either. Rather, it's part of a program that lets me get out of bed with the same energy anyone else would each morning. And I'm trying to work through my issues of crippling self-doubt. I have to remind myself that, as with any other physical illness, there is no shame in taking medication for depression and anxiety. Would I try fixing an asthma attack with an Epsom salt bath and a jade roller? Hell no! My airway would collapse. Will I have to be on meds for the rest of my life? I'm not sure. I won't lie. Side effects like weight gain and a lower libido suck. But I'm in a better place than I was 6 months ago. I'm actively taking steps to take back control of my life. And I'm not breaking down into tears because it's Monday. Lindsay Shalon is Glamour's senior beauty editor. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anika Gal, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached by kiwanisfoundation.org. So long, until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Remember that journal that we've been talking about of your dreams? Hey, it's still January. Actually, it doesn't matter what day it is. Write in it. Think about the mentors we talked about today. Who are your mentors? Where do you want to go? What are your questions? What are your doubts? Write those down and write down people's names, people you think really would help. Remember, it's not just one person, it's a village. We have, thankfully, so many people we can reach out to, and they have people they can reach out to. So it's a matter of networking, making those connections. Get out there and do something like that. It's your life. Do something with it. Go for it. Doesn't have to be huge steps. Tiny steps are okay. Dabble in whatever interests you. Go out there and just go for it. See you next time.